Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Air Expanders quarterly conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Scott Dodson, CEO and President of Air Expanders. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gemma, very much, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you for joining our quarterly investor update conference call. And you will have seen that we released the Appendix 4C on Tuesday Australian time. So I want to use this call to walk you through the quarterly financials and provide an update on all of our operational progress at Air Expanders. I'm joined on our call today by John Lai, our Senior Director of Finance. And we both look forward to answering your questions after this introduction. So let's kick off and start with the financials. During the first quarter, we ended March 2016 and reported that receipts from customers were $135,000 US. Our cash outflow for the quarter was $4.47 million US, and our cash balance for the organization as of March 31st was $14.66 million in US dollars as well. Now, this is the first quarter that we've experienced any seasonality in with regards to sales, and the result reflects a decline in procedures in January due to the summer holiday period. And we were able to utilize this time to rebuild our product stocks and increase our inventory following an exceptionally strong period of growth, and in particular, our performance during the fourth quarter. In the final 6 weeks of the quarter, that saw a return to positive inventory and also growth for our business. And based on this, we expect a return to that trend in the second full quarter of this year. We also continued and will continue our engagement with our surgeons. We have retained 70 plastic and oncoplastic surgeons. We will be training a new group of surgeons next week in Brisbane at the RACS meeting, and we are seeing repeat orders from many of these surgeons, and we continue to get very positive feedback from patients. Now, in order to meet our commercial demand, as we saw, which was both a blessing and something that we needed to work on in the late fourth quarter, we've hired and trained a second shift at the company at our current manufacturing base in Palo Alto. Now, this is not only critical in fulfilling our demand in Australia, but it also will ensure that we have enough product to support our ongoing continued access trial, which is currently underway in the United States. Now, overall, the experience that we've had from Australia has been very, very positive. And importantly, the lessons that we've learned in this initial target market have been very instrumental in shaping the way that we're preparing for our U.S. launch. Now, as we look towards our U.S. launch, at our last quarterly report and call, we advised that we had submitted our dossier to the FDA for our de novo application, and we were expecting questions from the agency. Since that time, we've completed the review of our submission, and they have now submitted questions back to the company at the very end of February. We are in the process of preparing our responses and intend to be in a position to file a response to these queries by the end of May this next month. Now, upon receipt of this, you know, it was expected that the FDA would continue their review of our submission, including any requests for further information and clarification that we have provided. And based on this, we're working towards a decision by the FDA in the final quarter of this year, with U.S. commercialization to commence immediately thereafter. Now, from an overall perspective with regards to the FDA response, we are not alarmed or concerned by any question that has really passed our way. We are, however, in our typical form, are very thorough in our response and tend to oversupply the FDA with information which has kept us in their good graces. So our cash outflow for the quarter was $4.47 million, which was down about 5% from the previous quarter, which is $4.58 million. And the company continues to progress its manufacturing transfer to Costa Rica, which is scheduled to complete in late 2016. Our cash outflow will likely remain consistent and consistently at these levels until the U.S. market launch is underway. Now, we've invested in this business, and it will prepare us for a successful launch. And to that end, we've made some excellent hires in key positions, which we've invested also in the automation of our manufacturing and our increased capacity, and are focused on completing the transfer to Costa Rica in the timelines that we've already described. We're now in the process and have identified top sales talent across the United States so that we can make a fast start once clearance is received from the FDA. But we're still very mindful of prudent management of our financials and scaling up at a sensible pace, commensurate with our commercial progress. Personally, I'll be coming to Australia in May for our annual shareholders meeting, which is on the 17th of May in Sydney, and we'll be looking forward to meeting with many of our investors and providing a further update on our progress at this particular point in time. With that review underway, I'd like to now open up the call to any questions from those in attendance on the line.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question. Oh, I'm sorry. We did have a question registered. It looks like it was deregistered. I will remind parties on how to register. It is just star 1 on your telephone. We'll just pause for a moment to allow any further questions to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Adam Wardham. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm in New York at the moment. Just read the report. Just a question. If you got the questions in February, and we're talking about only responding by the end of May, what can you give us some sort of insight as to the process that you're going through to answer these questions? Because 3 months seems like an inordinately long time to be able to develop an answer.
Right, right. So if they were one-line answer questions, we would have had them back, in fairly short order. But typically when the FDA asks you questions, they can be rather detailed. So all of the questions that we received from the agency, about two-thirds of those were questions were fairly easy to answer and address straight away. The additional one-third required some additional testing and, required us to take a look again at our statistical analysis plan and rerun our statistical analysis, taking a look at the final cohort of our data. So in order to be, overly supplying of information to the agency, we have generally found it best to be very thorough and very detailed in our write-up of all testing procedures and all comparative items to simplify the process most certainly for the FDA and also give ourselves the best opportunity to continue to be able to answer their questions in as complete process as we can.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Vaughan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Well, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Just a question regarding cash. Are you seeing the amount of cash that you have on hand taking you all the way through to US launch without the need for capital raise?
We believe that the amount of cash on hand will take us through to the point where we'll be able to secure our FDA approval and begin the scaling up process for our U.S. commercial release. We think we reserve the right certainly as a group to take a look at any and all options along the way should the need arise to put additional capital on board to support the company's efforts for scale up and other purposes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Mark.
Thank you. As a reminder, it is just star 1 on your phone to register your question. Your next question comes from Ian McKenzie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Scott. Can you just talk...
Hi, Ian.
Hi. Can you just talk a bit further about the process now from May through to, if you're saying we're not going to get FDA approval till the last quarter, can you just work through that process for us, please?
Yep, you bet, Ian. Not a problem at all. So our response will go back into the agency. And again, the way this typically works is that with the volume of questions, whatever first set of questions the FDA delivers to you, the goal is to be as thorough as you can, but it's probably impractical to think that they're not going to have any other questions, even if it's a small subset. So we plan to get our response back into them, you know, at the end of May or very, very shortly thereafter. And, you know, it typically takes the agency a couple of months to go through your questions and your responses and queries, and then get back to you with any additional questions along the way. Now, in what gives us reasonable promise is many of the questions contained in their query to us at the end of February are around things like the instructions for use for the surgeon and the patient home use instructions. So generally speaking, the agency, would not tend to query those items very heavily if, they weren't intent on putting you on the path to approval. So, we feel as though that by the nature of most of the questions that have been asked, that, it still puts us on a pretty good track. But back to your question with regard to timing. So if we get our response back to them by the end of May or so, it's reasonable for the FDA to get back to us in the, call it the late July, August timeframe, with a response and another series of questions. Usually by then, the questions are very focused and very finite, and we believe that we would be able to turn those around very shortly to put the FDA in a position to give us a positive clearance.
And just one other thing, Scott, sorry. Just can you talk a little bit about the growth in Australia in terms of penetration? The surgeons have been very good. What's your view now towards the end of the year, June, in terms of penetration?
I'm sorry, Ian. Can you restate the question, please?
Just how things are going in Australia. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, you bet. So, again, as I mentioned, we are back into growth mode. After literally being out of stock for the first, month or 5 weeks of the year due to our success at the end of 2015. But again, by adding the additional shift on in Palo Alto, California, it's given us the ability to produce higher levels, which puts us in a good position not only for Australia, but also to supply devices for the continued access trial, which is going on in the United States as well. So for that reason, during the first quarter, we held our surgeon training still at that 70 surgeon mark. And at the beginning of May, here in just two short weeks, the company will be at the Royal American College of Surgeons meeting, or the RACS meeting in Brisbane, where we'll be training additional plastic surgeons and oncoplastic surgeons to use our device as well.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Yep, no problem, Ian.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Patrick Lee. Please go ahead.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Patrick.
I was wondering for your cash outflow, how much of that is recurring, and how much of that is one time going to the plant in Costa Rica?
Patrick, if you could help me again with your question, I'm sorry, it was a little grainy when it came through.
Sure. I was wondering for your cash outflow, how much of that is going to be recurring, and how much of that is related to the plant in Costa Rica?
Gemma, from a moderator perspective, I could use some help here. I'm just having a tough time. I'm having a tough time hearing Patrick.
Not a problem. Patrick, I might ask you to re-register if that's okay. I'll just remove your question for now. If you could re-register by pressing *1, and then we can get you in the queue again.
Patrick, listen, I apologize and want to answer your question. I just want to make sure that I understand it completely before answering.
Not a problem at all. We'll just wait for Patrick to re-register by pressing *1. In the meantime,
sure,
we can take a question from Vincent Cook. Please go ahead.
Hello. The first part of my question was in terms of the cash, to what extent do you expect the cash burn to increase with the commercial launch in the US? And then second part of my question, I think, is actually picking up the previous question. Is there any part of the current spending that is going to drop off along the way, e.g. in relation to transferring manufacturing to Costa Rica?
Two good questions. So let me let me attempt to answer both. So with regards to the cash burn, currently right now we're burning about $4.5 million per quarter, or about $1.5 million per month. We expect to stay at or perhaps maybe just slightly above that level once we start the commercialization of this device in the U.S. However, between now and FDA approval, this is projected to be the burn rate through that time. That's really our scale-up burn rate as an organization. Now, with regards to recurring expenses, we've built up our organization since the IPO here in Palo Alto, California, which is the last place that you want to keep a big organization long-term. So our plan from a company perspective is once we get our major base of operation online in Costa Rica to begin to scale back where appropriate on some of the areas where we have scaled up to validate, to bring in new equipment, and to begin the transfer process as a company.
Right, thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome.
Thank you. And Mr. Dodson, we've just been advised, Patrick has advised that his question has since been answered.
Okay, fantastic, great. Thanks. And sorry again, Patrick, that I couldn't take that personally.
Your next question comes from Matthew Ragos. Please go ahead.
I cancel my question. My question's been answered.
Not a problem. We'll just pause for a moment to allow any final questions to enter the queue. Your next question is a follow-up from Adam Wardham. Please go ahead.
Scott, hi. Sorry to badger you. But just a question in terms of the sort of projected growth that you're projecting. Now, we obviously still continue to project growth out of Australia. Is that factored into, it would be factored into your cash flow equation. But what sort of growth are we expecting in Australia? And are you now trying to look for contingent growth opportunities given the delay in the U.S.? I know that you decided not to enter Europe. Is this something that you're reconsidering? Should the U.S. launch delay? Because obviously that kind of cash burn rate is going to be pretty significant, and you definitely would have to go to market again if you have any further delays.
Most certainly, and we've thought through that as well. However, given what we believe is a reasonable expectation of approval by year end for this technology and the scale up that we're planning on in the U.S., we would really rather preserve cash and capital to apply towards not only the largest medical market in the world, but the one that we know the most about, where we do not have any reimbursement issues, and we have a very large waiting base of surgeons that are eager to get their hands on this technology so that they can start using it in their clinics. I would be fearful, I think, of moving into other markets that we know less about at this point of the, at this stage, because certainly the reimbursement issues are different everywhere you go. And I just think that we would incur more risk as an organization and for you investors as well. That's probably not something that we'd like to take on. So to consider keeping the reserves that we can targeted at the United States is really what our strategy has and will continue to be, unless dictated otherwise by the FDA.
I guess, as investors, our biggest concern would be the cash flow issue, and should you there be any delay and at the burn rate that you're projecting, trying to build any kind of revenues you can out of Australia, then would be obviously paramount. Have you guys explored any acceleration in that to try and increase that revenue rate?
We certainly have, and now that we're back to positive inventory, we're looking to potentially add another rep in Western Australia, one that can cover WA and South Australia as well. Now that we have approval in New Zealand, potentially bringing on that market also. But again, before we go too far down that path, we want to stay committed on getting our responses into the agency, making sure that we've answered those questions as completely as we can, and, you know, continue to utilize, what we're learning out of Australia to apply it towards a larger market opportunity.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Guy.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll hand back to Mr. Dodson for any closing remarks.
Great. So again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining today and in your support of Air Expanders. We see a very strong rate, not only of uptake, but also have very strong confidence in our ability to address the questions that have been posed to us by the FDA. And as one investor had stated earlier, while it's certainly taken us 90 days to get to the point where we can turn in a detailed response, we are even more confident on the thoroughness of that response and the fact that we've addressed the question every way that we think is possible so that we can get to the end and get our clearance and get to commercialization as quickly as we can. So that, too, is our number one goal as an organization, and, we continue to move down that path. So I'd like to thank everyone very much for your support. And, again, I will see many of you during my trip to Asia and Australia during the month of May.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. You may now disconnect your lines.